ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world just over 500 years ago. The date and time of his appearance and the place of his appearance, the name of his father and mother are all recorded. However, we should not think of him as an ordinary historical figure. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Absolute Truth. This has been elaborately established at the beginning of the most prominent of his biographies, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, by the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He goes to great lengths to establish from scripture the actual position of Lord Chaitanya. Therein, he writes, Yadadvitam brahmopanishadi tadapyasya tanubha ya atmantayami purusha itisyo sangsa vibhava. Sada Ishvarya Purna Yaiha Bhagavan Saswayamayam Na Chaitanyat Krishnat Jagati Paratattvam Paramiha. He writes that the glowing effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti, which is described in the Upanishads, is but the bodily luster of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The localized super soul who is residing within the heart of every living being and within every atom is but the expansion of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replete with six opulences, who has appeared in this world. Within this world, there is no higher truth than He, or within this world, or even beyond this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with Nityananda, who is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nityananda is Balaram. Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. All these points have been elaborately explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami so that we will not misunderstand the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood by his devotees, not by mundane scholars who try to analyze his pastimes through the media of their imperfect intelligence. But even then, to understand Lord Chaitanya is not easy. Who can understand this most confidential appearance of the Lord, who appears as his own devotee? Nevertheless, by hearing about him, we become attracted to him and we become purified. That is, if the devotees, when they hear about him from devotees, they become attracted to him and purified. Lord Chaitanya came especially to teach to give the taste of devotional service to himself. This is a very rare gift that had not been bestowed within this world for a very long time before. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Anarpita chiring chirat karunya avatirna kalo samarpiyata manatajvala rasa swabhakti shriyam. That which had not been given for many, many long eons before, Lord Chaitanya has very mercifully appeared in this Kali Yuga to bestow that. What is that? Unatajvala rasa, the topmost, blazing or effulgent, mellow of devotional service to himself. So that mellow, this rasa, this is the point of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, to bestow upon the world rasa, or nectarian relationships, loving affairs in nectarian relationships. A rasa that must be shared between more than one person. So we find that Lord Chaitanya appeared not only himself, but he brought his whole entourage with him. Brajendranandan jay shati shuta hoilo shay balarama hoilo nitai. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Balaram has, and Nityananda is Balaram. And just as Krishna appears in this world with so many associates, so those same associates have appeared in different forms in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Narottam Das also relates. What is that? Gaura Bhakta Shungi. Shungi Gane Nitta Siddha Kare Mane. whoever understands that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are all liberated souls, Sejai Brajendra Shutapash, he can go back to home, back to Krishna. So these stories of Lord Chaitanya's past, of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they are not simply some stories like novels or fairy stories, but they relate to us the intimate dealings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees, and of the devotees with the devotees, how the devotees live their lives in pure Krishna consciousness. Now there are many extraordinary events related here, but we should not take these to be mythical. Everything related here is factual and has been recorded by great acharyas of the time and made into the biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These narrations are extracted from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described principally in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are the principal biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are several other biographical works about Lord Chaitanya also, such as Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Chandradoy, Chaitanya Charitamritam, which is different work to Chaitanya Charitamrita, and others. And there are other books which have been written describing the pastime, principally describing the pastimes of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, among which Bhakti Ratnaka is most prominent. And there are other books such as Narottam Vilas, and which describes the pastimes of Narottam Das. Rasik Mangal, which describes the pastimes of Rasik Ananda. So like this, these narrations have been extracted from these various works. These narrations of the pastimes of the devotees will be appreciated by devotees. The non-devotees, they are anathema. But the devotees, by hearing these pastimes, they feel enlivened in devotional service. To hear about these wonderful exchanges of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees is automatically pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. These narrations are also instructive. They're not supposed to be idle stories, but they instruct us how we should, follow in the footsteps of these great devotees by dedicating our minds and our lives in the service of Lord Chaitanya. Within these narrations, we will find many wonderful pastimes. There is a lot of, many times, ecstatic symptoms of devotees related, such as crying, falling on the ground, fainting, and so on. These activities, or these ecstatic symptoms, are not to be imitated, but we may aspire to follow in the footsteps of such great devotees by imbibing their mood of pure devotion. These pastimes of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are good to hear at any time, especially on the appearance and disappearance days of great devotees. We like to hear about their pastimes, but we can hear about them on any day. Not only can we, but we should regularly hear the pastimes of the great devotees so that we can fill our minds and hearts with the narrations of their wonderful qualities and activities. Materialistic people are very eager to hear the narrations of other materialistic people. Those who materialists consider to be great, they like to hear about. They like to hear about the pastimes of utterly worthless people, such as film stars and sports heroes. In the same way, or in a similar way, devotees, they don't like to hear of the activities of such people, but they like to hear of the activities of the great devotees. These pastimes, especially if in times of difficulty, or when we're not feeling so much inspired in devotional service, if we remember these pastimes of the great devotees, then automatically we can become enlivened and enthused. Just as hearing about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and their different incarnations is all auspicious, so hearing about his great devotees is also all auspicious. Today, let us hear about Gauridas Pandit, who was one of the principal followers of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In Krishna Leela, he was the well-known cowherd boy, Subal. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Gauridas Pandit in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he had very high level of ecstatic loving, ecstatic loving feelings for Krishna. He was highly empowered to both give and receive pure love of Krishna. He offered his home, his family, his everything to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and made Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the Lord of his life. His Gauridas Pandit's father's name was Kangsari Mishra and his mother's name was Kamala Devi. They had six sons, namely Damodar, Jagannath, Suryadas, Gauridas, Krishnadas, and Nrisingha Chaitanya. The Sripat of Gauridas, or the place where he performed his bhajan, is at Ambika Kalna. That's a short distance south of Navadeep. There are established the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. These are the first deities of Gaur Nithai. And how they came to be there is also a wonderful story. In that temple is one Bhagavad Gita written by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's also an ore that, because Kalna is just opposite, it's on the bank of the Ganga, just opposite from Shantipur, the house of Advaita Acharya. So it's said that Lord Chaitanya, once he rowed a boat over the river from Shantipur to Kalna. Then when he reached the other side, he gave the ore to Gauridas and said, you can use this to take the living beings over the river of material life. Gauridas's elder brother, one of his elder brothers was Suryadas, Suryadas Sharkal, whose two daughters were married to Lord Nityananda. So after Lord Chaitanya had performed many pastimes in Navadeep, he started thinking about taking sannyas. At this time, he thought, well, let me go at least one, because he regularly used to visit Gauridas. He used to visit Advaita Acharya in Shantipur and Gauridas. He regularly himself and Nityananda used to visit Gauridas. So he thought, let me go one more time just to say farewell to Gauridas. So Gauridas could understand why Lord Chaitanya was coming. And he wasn't very pleased. Whenever Lord Chaitanya visited anyone, he always held Sankirtan. He didn't just go there, but he would always have some dancing and chanting. So in the house of Gauridas Pandit, Lord Chaitanya was dancing and twirling round and round. And Nityananda, here he is, was loudly calling out the names, Hari, Hari. But Gauridas wasn't happy. Fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, now you've come to my home, just stay here, don't ever leave. This is my petition at your lotus feet. If you go away from here, it's absolutely certain that I will die. I won't be able to live without you. So you two brothers, you just stay here. I'll serve you very nicely. And from here, you can deliver all the living beings in the universe. And again, he was petitioning, Gaur Hari, just stay here. Said, and if you stay here, then I can understand you are really Patit Pavan, the savior of the fallen. Pani. Lord Chaitanya told Gauridas, just give up this idea. What you can do, you can worship me as in the form of the deity. I will stay here and you can serve me in this way. And saying this, Lord Chaitanya manifested the deities of himself and Nityananda. Gauridas said, I don't want a deity, I want you. So then Lord Chaitanya told Gauridas, okay, so you can take take whichever one you want, either myself and Nitai or myself and Nitai in the form of the deity. You look and see which one you want. So Gauridas was looking this way and that, and he couldn't work out which one was original and which one wasn't, because they're all the same anyway. So then he could understand that actually Lord Chaitanya is his deity, and he happily agreed to let Lord Chaitanya go while he also stayed in his home. And he made all arrangements for dressing him, offering flowers and foodstuffs and putting sandalwood paste on his body. He started serving the deities very assiduously.
Already.
Means with great attention to detail. So Gauri Das, he just treated the deities as Gaur and Nitai. He didn't think of them as deities. He didn't think of them as anything different from the original. He used to talk to them, and as he always talked to Gaur Nitai when they came to his home. One day Lord Chaitanya started joking with him. He said, Gauri Das, don't you remember you used to be Subal? You forgot all those things? How we used to play on the banks of the Yamuna? Then Gaur Nitai took the form of Krishna and Balaram, dressed as cowherd boys with their buffalo horns and their stick and their flutes, peacock feather in the hair, decorated with forest flowers and nice ankle bells tinkling. So seeing this, Gauri Das, he also became completely in the mood of, he forgot he was Gauri Das and became in the mood of Subal. So this went on for some time, and then this meditation broke, and Gaur Nitai went back to being deities again. So every day, Gauri Das used to cook a big feast with many preparations for Gaur Nitai. You'll find even now in Bengal, if you go, they'll cook many. They like to cook for the deities many, many, many different preparations. They'll have a big pile of rice in the middle of the plate, and all around it, many different preparations. But after some time, Gauri Das became older. Even though the associates of Lord Chaitanya are liberated souls, they go through the pastimes of apparently becoming old and affected by old age. So even in his old age, even though it was difficult for him, he didn't decrease his standards of offering at all. So seeing this, Gaur Nitai were wondering what to do. So one day while Gauri Das was cooking, they came out from the temple into the kitchen and pretended to be angry. You're taking too much trouble. We're not going to eat anything today. Then Gauri Das became angry at them. He said, well, if you think you're going to be happy by not eating, then why didn't you tell me before and I wouldn't have cooked anything? Then he just became quiet in anger. Then after some time, he said something. All right, I'll just cook a few preparations for you. But anyway, at least today you take so many preparations. And anyway, don't try to stop me from cooking many preparations. Whatever I can easily cook, I'll cook, and you just accept it. So one time, Gauri Das, he desired, wouldn't it be nice if Gaur Nitai were decorated with so many different ornaments? And he was just meditating how he could have beautiful ankle bells, how the deities could have beautiful ankle bells and armlets, and necklaces, and earrings, and nose rings, and so many different kinds of ornaments. So then when he went to the temple room, he saw Gaur Nitai decorated exactly as he had thought in his meditation to fulfill Gauri Das's desire. They had decorated themselves with wonderful ornaments. Gauri Das's most prominent and dear disciple was Hriday Chaitanya, who used to help him with overseeing the affairs of the temple and the festivals and so many things. Once, shortly before the Gaur Purnima, the festival for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauri Das went to one disciple's home. No, that means he went away from Kalna. The charge of the deities he gave to Hriday Chaitanya. Actually, at this time, his name was only Chaitanya Das. Became Hriday Chaitanya later. So anyway, Gauri Das didn't come back, and there were only 3 days to the festival, and no arrangements had been made, nothing had been done. So Chaitanya Das was wondering what to do, so he decided to send out invitations to all the devotees to come to the festival. He sent out the invitations in his own name. Yeah. So just when he'd finished writing all the letters and just when he'd sent people out to deliver them all, Gauri Das came back. And when Chaitanya told him what he had done, And though Gauridas was inwardly very pleased, he, outwardly to show that the disciple shouldn't act independently, he became angry with Chaitanya Das. He said, Gauridas said, that in my very presence, you have behaved so much independently, sending invitations here and there. So, if you want to do like that, then don't stay here. You go to the bank of the Ganga, and you just stay under a tree there. No. So it just happened when he went to that place, that one rich man came there and offered a big donation to him. So Chaitanya Das sent that donation to Gauridas, but Gauridas sent it back and said, you take this donation and you make some festival on the bank of the... You invited so many people, you could make a festival there on the bank of the Ganga. So that's what Chaitanya Das did, and gradually so many devotees came there to that place. So Chaitanya Das, with all the devotees, started performing kirtan. Started performing kirtan so ecstatically that Gaur Nitai personally came and joined in that kirtan. Meanwhile, back at the temple of Gauridas, the devotee who was serving the deities at that time came running out to Gauridas and said, the deities have gone. And Gauridas came and saw, he's right, the deities have gone. And he guessed what had happened. They ran away to join in the festival with Chaitanya. So Gauridas got a stick and very angrily went to come and chase them back. But when he came to that festival and Gaur Nitai saw him with a stick, they vanished. But Gauridas could see where they had gone. They were hiding in the heart of Chaitanya Das. So then Gauridas gave up his anger and was very happy with his disciple that by his love he had captured within his heart Gaur and Nitai. So he embraced him and said, from now on, he said, you are most fortunate. From now on, your name should be Hriday Chaitanya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was within your heart. So Gaur Nitai, they didn't only stay in his heart, they also went back to his temple. You can still see those deities there. Dhamma. So then all the devotees, Gauridas and Hriday Chaitanya, came back to the courtyard at Gauridas's house and performed the most ecstatic kirtan. We can't imagine what those kirtans are like. But anyway, then we hope to join them at some point in time. So that is the story of Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit Prabhu ki, Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu ki. Hare Krishna. Oui. Any question about anything? Right, because that's right. Like, yeah, they don't want him to run away. He ran away once, so now they just open the curtain and quickly close it again. Yes. Same at Banka Bihari Temple in Vrindavan, because he ran away one night. Every night he goes out to the Ras Lila, but one time he came back late. So after that, they're very careful. They only give a very short darshan and don't want him to run away. These things are going on. Don't think deities are just some pieces of wood. If we become so much... That Prabhupada said when he was installing the deities of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles. This deity is simply a brass-made idol. Prabhupada said that if you think that this is a brass-made idol, then he will remain to you a brass-made idol forever. But if you understand that this is Krishna, then Krishna will talk with you. This is why Krishna has come, because he wants to talk with you. But you have to become qualified to talk with him. Then Prabhupada described Vamsidas Babaji, he was talking to his deities. And then he told about Sanatana Goswami, how he was regularly speaking with his deities. That he was just keeping his deity in a tree. And he used to collect some dry chapatis here and there from the Brijbasis and offer them to Krishna. Madan Mohan. At that time, deity was called Madan Gopal. So Madan Gopal, one day he complained and said, do you think you could give me something else apart from dry chapatis to eat? At least a little salt. And Sanatana Goswami said, well, you know, I'm an old man, and you already told me, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you already told me to write books So if you want salt and then next day you want something else, how can I arrange all these things? So Madan Gopal had to be satisfied with dry chapatis. He was satisfied with the love of Sanatan Goswami. That's why he came to him. But if we think I'll offer only dry chapatis to Gaur-Nitai, Krishna won't be pleased. How do you say dry chapati? Suhi chapati.
Suhi, yeah.
Suhi. It's the same thing in Bengali. Shuka.
Shuka
means no ghee. Without ghee. So if we think we can offer like that out of laziness, then we won't get the same result of Sanatan Goswami denying him out of feelings of close affection, that just he's the family member, just like the mother may deny the child. Any other question? There are so many pastimes going on here too. It's not only in India. Especially the devotees who go out to preach and distribute books, there's so many amazing thing happens. Practically any time anyone buys a book, that's amazing. Why should anyone whose life is dedicated to eating, sleeping, mating and defending buy a book telling them to go beyond eating, sleeping, mating and defending and surrender to Krishna? Not only do they take the book, but they have to spend money for it, which they meant to use for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So there are many wonderful pastimes going on here. It's not that Krishna consciousness is restricted to India or Vrindavan or Mayapur. The whole world is convertible into a holy place by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. There are so many interesting things there.
Post the top.
Interesting places. You can also go and see sometime. I wouldn't know where to begin to answer your question.
You
want me to write an autobiography or something? There's so many things. Maybe you could ask Nita. He's been to a lot of places too. He's standing there. That I've written in those Back to Godhead magazines about different deities. You can read them. You can, if you want, you could translate. You have these nice magazines. Could translate and put in those magazines. I'm sure the devotees would be enthused by that. Few people we meet in India are very learned. That's one thing we find still. The tradition of learning is not quite dead. It's almost dead, but not quite. I mean, some people, especially devotees, who are vastly learned, just amazingly learned. How much they know, it's amazing.
Awesome.
Extensive knowledge of many different scriptures. There are few people like that. Any other question? Prabhupada has done that before. Prabhupada did that, actually. There was one devotee, he was called Patit Pavan, and then I don't know exactly, he found out there was another devotee called that, then Prabhupada changed his name to Patit Udharan, which means the same thing, more or less. Anyway, it's not such an important thing. Every name, it means Krishna Das, the servant of Krishna or the servant of Krishna's devotees. That's the significance of these names. No, all of them. Not some, all. Material desires may be there if we are not pure. In our ISKCON, it's also so many material desires. But that's not part of the philosophy. None of the sampradayas maintain within their philosophy that we should maintain material desires. But their goal of life is to go back to Godhead. That is somewhat of a personal desire, but it is a personal desire in connection with the service of Krishna. That's not considered a bad desire. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in the Bhagavatam, if we should maintain any personal desire, there should be the desire to go back to Godhead. The point I was making is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he teaches on such an exalted level that even that desire is surpassed, and the devotee simply submits himself to the desire of Krishna in all respects. That verse I quoted yesterday from Bhagavatam, what is it? Salokya samipya sashti kaivalatyam ityuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanam jana. There are different kinds of liberation that going to the same planet as the Lord, having the same opulence as Him, living close to Him, having the same form as Him, the devotees, they never accept these kinds of liberation unless they have the opportunity to serve Krishna. That is the overriding factor in a devotee's desire. Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, and Lord Chaitanya appears after him. One point is, that's his prerogative. Another point is that he's giving a very special kind of mercy. Generally, in every Kali Yuga, there's the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. In every yuga, the yuga avatar comes and teaches the process of self-realization according to the level that the jivas are on. It doesn't, the jivas, they're at different levels of desire, and the different avatars bring them from the point at which they're at and gradually bring them up. In other words, the Lord generally doesn't interfere with the desire of the jivas, but he purifies that desire, or gives them the process by which they can gradually purify their desires. That is the general standard of the material world, that the jivas are here in defiance of Krishna, and Krishna gives them the process of gradual purification by which they can come to him. So Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is, it's even against the rules which he has set up, that he's giving an opportunity which even the jivas, they don't deserve, and many times they don't even want. Because the jivas, there are so many jivas that if it was just left to themselves, they'd never go back to Godhead. Those who are demoniac, they are against Krishna, and they simply go down into the demoniac species of life more and more. Mama praibhyava, murha janmani janmani. They never attain to Krishna, but they always take birth in the demoniac species of life. So Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is an opportunity to save those who are, by their own rigid atheism, determined not to be saved under any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is especially to pick up those who are very stubbornly determined never to go back to Godhead. That Lord Chaitanya, his movement is so attractive that the original Krishna consciousness, which is covered by many, many layers of staunch envy of Krishna, that gets pierced through. So from time to time, some special mercy is required. That is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. Those who are most sinful and most envious, they don't deserve such mercy. That is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. Just like you'll find, I think in England they still do that. On the Queen's birthday, they release so many prisoners from the jail. Special pardon. They don't deserve it. They're rascals. That's why they're in jail. But it's the Queen's birthday, and all right, special pardon. They're not going to do it every day, but at least on that one day, they give them a chance. Otherwise, there are certain people who they're so sinful, they'll all the time be within the material world. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is to give that special chance. Another question? Well, that requires some maturity to understand. Just like the very small child should not act independently at all. No. The mother has to look after the small child at every moment, because if she doesn't, the child will kill himself or kill someone else, or smash the TV or do something, because he doesn't know what he's doing at all. But gradually the child grows up, and the child is expected to take some responsibility to help the parents in their activities. And he may even take some responsibility, just like you'll see in a family business. The child, the father may be standing here, and the child is independently bargaining with the customers. So because he's become mature, he has some level of independence for serving the mission or for serving the interest of the parents. But he never becomes fully independent. No. Having made the business deal, he has to give the money to the parents. He doesn't just keep it himself. So exactly how much independence should be taken, that will depend on the maturity of the disciple and the way the guru deals with the disciple. One shouldn't remain a child all his life. It's not that when someone's 20 years old, his mother has to take him to the toilet. When he's 2 months old or 2 years old, all these things have to be done by the parents. But when he gets older, should become more mature. Another point you'll find in the joint family, which is the normal model of a family, in the modern insane civilization, the joint family is finished, and so that's another reason why insanity is finished. But in the joint family, the children have many parents. Means that all the brothers live together, and the children of different brothers, they all live together, and they're all the uncles and aunts, they're all parents to them. And even the older children of the parents, they also help to look after and guide the younger children. So this model is quite applicable in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You have your own initiating guru, but it's not that the godbrothers of the initiating guru, they're also just like gurus, just the same. You have your specific guru, but then you have so many brothers of guru also. So we have plenty of care and guidance. Don't bother the guru, but don't neglect also. Just like the grown-up child won't bother the parents for every little thing, but at the same time you won't completely ignore them. Mm. And